So a few other things to be aware of. These will be concepts that Chapter 13 consumer lawyers are familiar with, but not necessarily Chapter 11 business lawyers. And that is, these go into discharge, plan modification, and case closing considerations. First, unlike a typical business restructuring, in an individual Chapter 11 case, that you can't obtain the discharge until the plan has been completed. And that's provided in Section 1141D5. So you can see, that can become a very interesting issue if you have a significantly long-term plan. There are pros and cons. There may be reasons why you need a lengthier plan or, more involved restructuring for an individual, but like at Chapter 13, they're not going to get their discharge until the plan's completed. Now, there is an undue hardship type exception. I don't remember the terminology, but that's pretty hard to meet. Plan modifications like Chapter 13, and this was an interesting one for me as a business restructuring professional. Like Chapter 13, creditor or other parties have the ability to seek a modification of the plan post-confirmation. That seems very foreign to most Chapter 11 business attorneys, but that is a very common aspect of a Chapter 13 case, and it goes to if there are changed circumstances. It could be maybe the income has changed, all kinds of different circumstances that can occur that obviously affect the landscape for creditors in a Chapter 11, and so there are other parties who have an opportunity to seek a modification of the plan. So going back to the having to have plan completion to get a discharge. Now you overlay the same U.S. trustee post-confirmation quarterly fee issue that we've talked a little bit about over the last couple days, and how does that play out? And that can become a very expensive proposition, again, for an individual, and the whole question of what standard are we looking at in order to close a case? Is it substantial consummation? Is it full administration? The statute sort of seems to talk in terms of full administration. Well, in a individual Chapter 11 plan, that could take quite some time. And fortunately, it appears that there is sort of a trend towards being somewhat flexible in approach here. And that is that some courts have allowed cases to be closed temporarily, effectively, now without a discharge, and the plan will continue to march along and the debtor will continue to perform, and then the debtor can come back and ask to reopen the case once the plan has been fully performed and ask for the discharge to be entered at that time. And then you avoid the accrual and payment of U.S. trustees fees during that time frame. Another thing to be aware of is there are some differences between Chapter 11 and Chapter 13 with respect to the dischargeability of what some have referred to as sort of the distinction between domestic support obligations and domestic non-support obligations. Domestic support obligations obviously being a change that occurred several years ago where Congress made it a point that it was a priority to not allow for those types of support obligations to be dischargeable in any case. In a Chapter 13, there are other domestic obligations that might not quote, constitute a support obligation that you could get a discharge of, that under Chapter 11, it would appear that those are non-dischargeable under 1141D2. So that's a distinction to be aware of, certainly if you have a divorce scenario. Another thing to be aware of, not really negative, but just something to be aware of, is that in Chapter 11, as opposed to a Chapter 13, you do actually have to account for, on a tax basis, a separately taxable estate. And so that can get really kind of quonky whenever you're having to put together a tax return for the estate, while at the same time having to do a tax return for the individual, which again kind of goes back to the same thing, which is this is why this becomes a little more expensive, because you really have to have tax professionals that know what they're doing in this context. And now, Paul, you guys ran into some of this with Wiley, right?
Yeah, we have. And to Lee's point, there's another one. I didn't know there was a separate taxable estate, but we learned that one pretty quickly. But that was a situation where I know he registered, but you know, Dennis Faulkner and his Lane and Faulkner were our financial advisors and came in and handled that. I know Don Reagan, who's here, did the same thing for the D. Wiley estate. But you literally do have to go get another EIN number, and you have to do the separate tax returns.